Fire to Davis Dubert at the right wing. Davis blows by Bussing. Baseline jumper for Dubert. Nothing but net for St. John's Tipton. He has 6 1/4, 23 in the game.
Some of the action from our Sub-State Championship Week Rewind that is coming to you in just a little while. 2016 1A Division II Sub-State Final between St. John's Tip, the Axtell Boys, and Lance Bergman. Head coach of Blue Jays will be with us to relive that a bit. Sub-State Championship Week Rewind continuing then tomorrow as well, as will how the Osborne Rock Hills Girls 2A Sub-State Final. It came down to the buzzer, and that was from 2010. John Bowden, who was head coach of the Osborne Girls at that time, will join us. That's coming up tomorrow. Then more Sub-State Championships coming up next week on the sports ticket. So you look forward to that. All right, senior spotlight today. We focus on Beloit.
Yes, NCKSSports.com, Cunningham Telephone and Cable senior athlete spotlight. Grant Arrowsmith and Trista Bovey, Beloit seniors, are the ones we're looking at today. Arrowsmith played a key role for both the football and basketball team over the past season at Beloit. Really forced into an important role at quarterback after Hudson Gray went down with an injury as a junior and threw for 600 yards and ran for another 500, but moved back to running back this year, run for just under 600 yards and 9 touchdowns at 150 yards and 2 touchdowns receiving. Yeah, he was the second leading tackler on the Trojan defense as well, with 77 total stops, 2 fumble recoveries, and interception. First team all NCAA defensive back, second team all league running back. On the basketball court, he averaged 3 points and 3 rebounds a game, but played a very key hustle role for that 21-3 Trojan team this year. A very important member of that squad. Bovey has been a key contributor for the Lady Trojans during her senior season as well. Just during the volleyball season in the fall, she was an honorable mention all NCAA pick, registering 209 kills, 74 blocks, 29 aces for the 3A state runner-up squad that went 41-4. Also a starter for the Lady Trojan basketball team, went 15-7, won the NCAA league title. Definition of a student athlete for sure, Trista Bovia. She is a Kansas Honor Scholar, Beloit Black Shirt recipient. First honor roll all 4 years of high school. She's maintained a 4.0 GPA throughout high school, and she plans to major in medical diagnostic imaging at Fort Hays State University, where she's received a black and gold scholarship. So obviously a very well-rounded individual there in the classroom and on the court, both of those players and athletes, Grant Arrowsmith and Trista Bovey. If you missed anything on that, you can always go back and read it at the NCKSSports.com. Beloit Trojan seniors, our senior athlete spotlight for today.
All right. Well deserved for both of those individuals. Today marks the 4th anniversary of the passing of Noah Smith.
I saw that on Facebook this morning.
It doesn't seem like it's been that long, but, no. But it has. There's not really a day that goes by that I don't think of him. And obviously when you drive going to Jewel back and forth and you see the dedication and the memorial there where the accident took place, it reminds you of that. So we played Break My Stride by Matthew Wilder. We do that each and every year on the anniversary of Noah's passing. And coming up in the weeks ahead, we've got Sub-State Championship Week this week and next week. We're going to interview some coaches that I think people will be interested in, talking about their careers. We're also going to have Comeback and Rally Week. We're playing back some of the best comebacks and rallies we've had on the radio over the years in basketball, football, volleyball, whatever. But also, we've got classics. And one of those classics, I'm just let the cat out of the bag, is Beloit Southeast Saline regular season game, where Beloit lost that game in overtime by 1 point. And Noah Smith had one of the best, if not the best, defensive play I've ever seen in my life when it comes to high school basketball, blocking a shot by Easton Montgomery to save the day and force overtime. He just absolutely flew and almost hit his head on the backboard. You know, it was an amazing block that preserved Beloit's chance to win and force overtime. And you'll hear that down the line when we do the classics, but one of the most incredible plays I've ever seen by an athlete at the high school level. It was just insane. Insane.
Yeah, I wish I would have been able to see the thing. And
you know, can see it. It's on video.
I can go back and watch it on video, but live, you know, to be there and see something like that is always fun to be a part of that.
Colson Reams had 40 points in that game, by the way. 21 in the fourth quarter in overtime. Hit 3 free throws to tie it at the end of regulation. He's fouled on a 3. It was a great, great game. So just a little bit of a tease, as we've got some stuff scheduled for a while now because, you know, we don't know when sports is really going to get going again. On this date in sports history, April the 16th, back in 1929, the Yankees and the Indians introduced numbers on their jerseys. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. They decided to have numbers on their jerseys. Seems like something we take for granted, right?
Yeah.
Bob Feller opened the season in 1940 in historic fashion with the Indians. The 21-year-old threw a no-hitter, becoming the first and only pitcher to throw a no-no on the first day of the year. He later threw 2 additional no-hitters.
Had at least... double, 2 of them at least.
Yeah, 12 one-hitters.
Man.
12 one-hitters. On this date, 1996, the Chicago Bulls won their 70th game of the season, 86-80 road victory of the Milwaukee Bucks. And that surpassed the 71-72 Lakers for the single-season record, reaching a plateau never before attained in NBA history. Jordan had 22 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, only 9 of 27 from the floor. Luke Longley, yeah, the Aussie, and Scottie Pippen scored 16 apiece, and Dennis Rodman had 7 points, 19 rebounds, as the Bulls beat the 24-win Bucks by 6 on the road, 86-80, for their 70th win. Of course, they went on to win 72 games, and then later on, the Warriors broke that record with 73 wins, but the Warriors didn't win the NBA Finals. They lost 4-3 to the Cleveland Cavaliers and LeBron James after blowing a 3-1 series lead, whereas the Bulls did win it all back in 1996. And speaking of that, I can't wait. 3 days from now, it's the documentary 10-part series about the Bulls. That's what I grew up with. That's what you kind of grew up with.
Oh, absolutely.
And I'm excited about it.
I grew up with it.
Yeah, well, I did too. So, yeah. I mean, I'm older than you, and I still grew up with it. They were that good for that long, you know, 6 championships, never lost in the NBA Finals. And it's out there. Jordan says, people are going to watch this again and going to think I was a horrible person because he had a tremendous drive.
Oh,
I mean,
he just
really got on his teammates sometimes. And there's going to be some footage, it sounds like, that's going to not portray him in the best light. But he wasn't everybody's buddy.
No, he was couldn't not. Be. Not at all.
He couldn't be.
I think that's well documented.
I think that
we'll see it, I guess, now. That maybe some stuff we haven't seen, but I think it's pretty well documented.
Last night, my son was rewatching. I'd already seen it. The 30 for 30 on ESPN about the Orlando Magic and Penny Hardaway and Shaq. Have you seen that?
Yep.
Where they broke up basically because the Orlando Magic totally messed up the whole situation. And then the Lakers came into play, and Shaq never did want to leave Orlando, really, but it was all about the money. So he went to L.A., of course, won championships, went to Miami, won a championship, and Shaq says this day, I wish I would have stayed in Orlando. I really wish I would have stayed. And, you know, Penny said, hey, listen, it should have been me and Shaq winning those championships. I was Kobe before Kobe in regards to that. And then Penny had all the injuries after all of those situations took place. But the reason I bring this up is, you know, 95, when Jordan came back, in 95, and he was wearing number 45, so he wasn't the real Michael Jordan. I always say that. That was not the real Michael Jordan. And he, you know, he had his days where he played well after, you know, coming back from to the NBA, unretiring after his baseball foray, as I call it, with the White Sox. And he had, you know, a turnover and this and that, and they lost to the Magic in 6 games in 95. And I thought at that time, I'm like, dude, the Bulls are going to win at 96, because I knew that Jordan's never going to forget that loss.
Mm-hmm.
And so watching a documentary again of Orlando and about what happened, and the Bulls swept the Magic the very next year, and Michael Jordan was just on a mission. Horace Grant, who was part of the Bulls' first 3 championships, was a member of the Orlando Magic in 95 and 96 and so forth and so on. And Horace Grant says, oh, I knew when we beat them in 95, we needed to win the NBA championship. Because, and they didn't, of course, they got swept by the Rockets. He said, I knew we needed to do that because I knew Michael was ticked off. And he wasn't going to let me to be on top of Shaq's shoulders after beating them ever again. Horace Grant knew it.
Yeah.
And Shaquille O'Neal's on record as saying that when he first went in the league, he was terrified of Michael Jordan. This is a 7-foot, 335-pound man terrified of Michael Jordan. Terrified of him. Because, and guess what? Then they got swept. And Shaq's recollection of that series is pretty funny. Sitting in his house, and he's like, after game one, I'm like, phew. After game two, whew. After game three, they got swept. The Bulls took them out in 4 games. That Magic team won 60 games that year.
Yeah.
The Bulls won 72. The Bulls went on to win the NBA championship. And so I can't wait for that 10-part documentary with Jordan. And Shaq and Penny were talking about on the documentary yesterday about how if they would have won the title in 95, remember Nick Anderson missed those free throws in game one, and that was, they just went right after that. They were just young and immature. But had they won the finals in 95, they believe they would have won 3 or 4 championships, and maybe they would have. We'll never know.
Yeah.
But it is what if, because they were loaded, and they were very young, and then they fell apart because the Magic didn't want to step up and pay Shaquille O'Neal in his prime the big contract, and when they were ready to do it, it was already too late.
Yep.
Very interesting 30 for 30, but the Bulls are intertwined in that. So on this date, the Bulls won their 70th game, April 16th of 1996. Also on this date in sports history, Magic Johnson announced he would not return as a coach of the Lakers. For you young people out there, Magic Johnson was the head coach of the Lakers for a very short time.
Yes.
That was in 1994. 1999, Wayne Gretzky announced his retirement after 20 years in the National Hockey League. He is called the Great One, and that's because he was the greatest hockey player of all time. So that's on this date in sports history. All right, back to local sports. Track and field, we have some news about Cessna Stadium.
Yeah, the Wichita State yesterday, or no, it was before yesterday, but they put in a request to the Kansas Board of Regents to basically demolish Cessna Stadium. But they have to have the approval to do it. They're going to go find the funding, and it did not take long for the Kansas Board of Regents to say, yes, you can do it if you have the funding to do it. So basically what it sounds like is when they get the funding, it's not going to happen like tomorrow or anything like that. They do need to go out and get $1.4 million that they would demolish Cessna Stadium. So all, you know, high school track athletes and coaches are what happens then, you know, for state track and field, because that's where that's at, is Cessna Stadium. Apparently, Mark Lentz has said that the new facility.
Mark Lentz,
he's the associate executive director for KSHA, for Kansas State High School Activities Association, has said that once they get the new facility built and at Wichita State, it should be big enough to have all six classes like normal down there for the state track and field meet. So it shouldn't mess that up in the future. Now, obviously, when they demolish that, it's going to take some time to get rid of it and build the new facility, and there's not been a timetable on when or where that'll happen because they don't have the money to start it yet.
So they're going to build a new one where Cessna is now?
I don't know if it's exactly the same place. It will be on Wichita State campus.
Because if it's a different place, they wouldn't have to miss a year at all hosting. They have Cessna, and then they build.
Well, yeah, if they're building it at the same time they're demolishing and have it done,
right.
But I don't know all the details on that. So I would imagine that it's going to be somewhere in that area, though, because I don't think there's a lot of
extra room
area on campus at Wichita State to be building something like that. So
which means they have to find a different site, probably for a year or two.
Yeah, I mean, I'm guessing that it's going to have to be right around that area where Charles Koch Arena is and the new athletic training facility that they're actually putting in right now.
Right.
There's plenty of room out there. And then if they can build the new track facility, if that's where it's going to be, then, I think it'll probably be a year or two that'll have to be somewhere different, or maybe they'll separate the classes for a year or two, and we'll see what happens. But that's down the line because they need to raise the money first.
$1.4 million.
Yep.
Okay.
Private funding and stuff like that. So
$1.4 million they need to build a new facility.
That's what they need to demolish Cessna Stadium.
Not just to tear it down.
Yeah.
They need $1.4 million just to tear it down.
Yeah.
And then who knows how much to build a new
numbers
facility.
Out there for a new facility because they haven't started getting into it.
It's going to take some time.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to take some time. All right, shifting to national sports scene, the first NFL player with COVID-19 is Rams center Brian Allen. I would guess there's other players that have COVID-19. They just probably don't know it or haven't been tested yet. Here's the latest information when it comes to college football. Vice President Mike Pence had a conference call with the College Football Playoff Management Committee to discuss the impact of the coronavirus pandemic on college athletics. And the big conclusion drawn by those on the call, because the message to Pence from that group was very clear, there will be no college football until students are allowed back on campus. Which to me, it makes complete sense. How do you expect kids to go play sports on a campus that no one else is allowed to be on? How could you deem that as safe?
I think
there's some political people that think they forget about the educational part of it completely.
Yeah.
All they want is, to get the economy going, which I get that part. I do. But I applaud these people, including the Big 12 commissioner, Bob Bowlsby, who said, and I quote, "Our players are students first. If we're not in college, we're not having any contest. Our message was we need to get universities and colleges back open, that we are education-based programs, and we aren't going to have sports until we have something closer to normal college going on." I would agree with that totally.
Yeah.
Completely. Why would you be a football player, even if you're under scholarship? Are you really going to get, so nobody, other students can be on campus, but yet it's okay for me to go play football with 80 other guys? That seems to be a bit of a contradictory message, isn't it?
Oh, without a doubt.
So I get it. I do. And I understand also trying to restart the economy and get everything going and getting sports going. I get all that. But it has to be done in the right way. It just can't be rushed into. Major League Baseball has an Arizona plan. We've told you about this before, and that is that maybe they would have games at the spring training sites, 10 different sites there, and talking about Arizona. And Mike Trout, who, of course, the highest-paid player in Major League Baseball and probably the best player in Major League Baseball, was interviewed by Mike Tirico on NBC Sports Network yesterday, and he says, and I quote, "I obviously want to play as fast as we can, get to a city, maybe Arizona, they're throwing out Florida, but being quarantined in a city, I was reading for if we play a couple of months, it would be difficult for some guys. What are you going to do with family members? My wife is pregnant. What am I going to do when she goes into labor? Am I going to have to quarantine for 2 weeks after I come back? Obviously, I can't miss the birth of our first child. There are a lot of red flags. There are a lot of questions. Obviously, we would have to agree on it as players. I think the mentality is that we want to get back as soon as we can, but it has to be realistic. It can't be sitting in our hotel rooms and just going from the field to the hotel room and not being able to do anything. I think that's pretty crazy." It does seem crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, but at the same time, this is a crazy world we live in right now, so crazy ideas are out there.
These people are trying to find anything they can do to ease some of the burden, I guess, and
you bet.
Get back into it, get back to life at some point. You know, whenever that happens for whatever entity, however they decide to do it, there's going to be things that are going to be different no matter what when we start getting into it.
I just don't see how we're going to have sports without empty stadiums. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how we can start sports and expect 80,000 people to pack in like sardines.
No.
I just don't see how that's possible. We're talking in 4 months, basically.
Yeah.
4.5 months. I just, do you see that?
There would have to be some pretty serious medical advances, like vaccines and things like that.
Testing,
drugs that we know that are going to work to take care of it if it happens. And that's the only way.
And you go one step further, even when we have that, are we going to test everybody and get their temperature and stuff before they enter the stadium?
No. I mean, it's not possible.
I wouldn't think so, because that would take forever.
Yeah. You have to show up 3 hours before.
And then
the
if
game.
You do and you paid for your ticket and they say, your temperature is 100.4. I don't know. There's lots of complications to it all.
No, absolutely.
How it's going to work.
Yeah, and we find out, I guess. But, yeah, I don't see it.
I don't see how
we
start.
See it happening.
I don't see how we start with fans in the stands unless we're waiting till probably next year.
Yeah.
That's just, I think you and I agree on that.
Oh, yeah.
Just being realistic. I don't want to be Debbie Downer, but it's just, that's the realistic look at it, I think. We shall see. Time will tell. But I know a lot of people are chomping at the bit to get sports going again and get everything going again. And I get it, man. I do. I want everything to go back to the way it was. But here's the thing. It won't.
No. I want to get life back to what it was before I even worry about it. I know this is a sports show.
Right.
And you know, people
but it
miss
won't be.
Sports.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. You want life to get back the way it was. It won't be.
No, it won't.
Because it's going to be completely different. You know, it's going to be different in regards to, are you going to shake people's hands? You know, are you going to be all touchy-feely with people anymore? Are you going to stay at your distance? You know, athletes, how are they going to handle things?
Yeah.
Doris Burke was talking about how she would, you know, come into a place and there are a lot of people want to shake her hand, or she signs autographs and they give her stuff. She goes, I mean, you touch lots of different people. I mean, and you talk to different people, hundreds of people, and then you're on airplanes. How are you going to handle things on an airplane? You know, you talk about a confined space. Mm-hmm. How's that going to change? Is it going to be every other seat that's going to be filled with people once, you know what I'm saying, the empty seats in between? I don't know, but I'm going to tell you this. Even when the economy is restarted, as they say, or we open up things again, it's not going to be the same.
No.
Not at all.
No.
It will be a little bit better because we're getting back to hopefully on the route to normalcy. But I've always said, what is normal? Everybody's idea of normal is different.
Yeah.
So to me, I don't think there is such a thing as normal. I've contended this for years. Like, we joke about my family in our house. My oldest son will say about our youngest son, he's weird. He's not normal. He's joking around, of course.
Yeah.
And I say, like, what is normal? Like, I mean, and he goes, well, we're a weird family. I said, well, we probably are. But I said, how do you compare that? Have you lived with any other family? How in the bleep do you know whether we're abnormal or normal? And who's to dictate and tell me what's normal and what's not?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously. What we do.
You have your own normal.
You know, people think, well, what's normal is having the toilet paper flipped a certain way. Well, in other people's houses, normal's different. It's the other way. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What's normal? Well, normal's eating at 6 o'clock at night. No, some places 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
There is. What is normal?
Normal is not a universal term.
No.
It's a relative term.
It is a relative term. It's not accurate.
Yeah.
That's what I've...
When I see, you know, I was in the hospital.
To think I'm normal, but I would say a lot of people would tell me I'm not.
Yeah.
Well, does that mean that they are and I'm not?
Yeah.
I'm going to sit here and look at them and go, well, you're not normal because you just told me I'm not normal. And who does that?
Yeah, yeah. It's like I'm in rehab, and they ask me, oh, what's your goal? You know, I said, I want to get back to normal. I want to get back to my normal life.
Back to your normal.
And for
there's
me,
the key.
That's the relative.
That's
exactly
the
key. That's what I'm talking about.
Right.
It's not relative to me.
Everyone's
it's not
normal.
It's not.
Right.
I don't want to get back to Wade Gerstner's normal.
Yes, right. Well, who does?
I don't want to get back to, you know, Kobe Bryant was alive then. I don't want to get back to Kobe Bryant's normal. Right. I want to get back to my
normal.
You know, this is like normal is normal.
Right.
Eric Berry wants to get back the same time
Absolutely.
I was going through what I was going through. Eric Berry wants to get back to his normal.
Right.
And that's, you know, like normal is a relative term. It's not universal.
Sure.
Like there's not this is normal and everything else is not.
But that's what we say though.
I know.
Whether we're joking
yeah,
or not.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, we're really weird or that person's weird or that person's not normal. Well, who are you to decide that? It is funny. And adults do it just as much as
absolutely.
Kids do.
It's a universal as far as everybody talking about it. But
yeah, it's kind of a
misnomer, term.
As I like to say. All right, Sub-State Championship Week rewind today. I'll let you lead us into this one. It's a game that you called back in 2016, back when we were both younger.
Yeah, we definitely were younger. There's no doubt about that.
Of course, we get older every day. So that's,
exactly.
Duh.
That's not normal what you did now.
No, exactly. Right. And back when we were normal
yeah,
back in 2016.
No, St. John's tipped in an axle, and this was a game where you had about a 500 team against an undefeated team, but they knew playing a Twin Valley League team that was going to be tough. And they, St. John's tipped in, they had to fight the whole time. You know, they finally pulled away late in the game, but it was close. They had the lead throughout, but it was close. You'll hear that. We'll be joined by Lance Bergman here momentarily as well. This is actually a really fun game. It's a tight game, and as happened a lot, you'll hear that Davis Newbert had something to say about it in the end for St. John's Tipton back then. So I hope you enjoy this one. Again, St. John's Tipton and Axel. We'll have the second half coming up after we talk with Coach Bergman here.
All right, Sub-State Championship Week Rewind continuing tomorrow. We will feature the 2010 2A Girls Sub-State Championship game between Osborne and Rock Hills, and former head coach of the Osborne Lady Bulldogs, John Bowden, will join us as that game literally came down to the final play. Enjoy Sub-State Championship Week Rewind back to 2016.
And welcome back on Sub-State Championship Rewind Week here on Katy Country 94 and the Sports Ticket. We're going to hear from Lance Bergman momentarily as we revisit the St. John's Tipton-Axtell Sub-State Championship game in 1A Division II back in 2016. And looking at this game, St. John's Tipton was 22-0, but this was a game, Coach, that you actually never trailed in it, but Axtell never just would go away from you. You had a 10-point lead, but they would stretch or get it within six at halftime, and then they were within three by the end of the third quarter. And one of the things that did happen in this game, though, that you end up winning it by 13 points was Colton Bussing had scored 26 points the night before in their sub-state semifinal game. And you, obviously Parker Gates was your shutdown defender, and you had him on him, and you were able to hold him scoreless. How important was that, not only for the game, but to be able to do that and kind of take Axel out of what they wanted to do that night?
Well, a lot of it, you know, Dusty, it was another one of those, was there a question? Had we really played anybody that year? You know, was our league very good that year? We're going to go play the Twin Valley League. They always have a good league. We had played Axtell the year before in state first round. So we already knew that they were really good. And we knew what we had graduated going into that. You know, and the Busing kid had a great year. He went off the night before. It was a gym that he's used to playing in. And really what happened was I just kind of got after Parker and I told Parker, I said, I don't know if you're good enough to guard him. He had 26 the night before, and, you know, he's a heck of a player. He plays against kids like you the entire time. I said, you know, you're really going to have to step up. And I said, I bet, you know, if you can help hold him to 15 points or 20 points, something like that, and then, you know, Davis maybe go off, maybe we have a chance, and which I knew Parker was an outstanding defender, and I really knew he was going to guard him, but it was more of a mental thing with Parker. It was kind of the way I challenged him. And to be honest with you, I'd done it the year before against the Creebo kid, and so I decided to challenge him. I told him he wasn't good enough, and the kid, Parker, to his credit, got really upset about it and came out and held him scoreless. I mean, that was phenomenal after the way the kid had played all season. He was a great basketball player, but it was a challenge that Parker took. He took it to heart, and he really wanted to do it, and he kind of led the team in that, and a lot of the kids didn't understand that he was the leader on that team and what he did for them. And there was one point in the game, he was our point guard, too. He came down on the offensive end. I always told my kids, you're not allowed to rest on defense. You do not rest on defense. If you're tired and you need to stay on the floor, and Parker, in that case, needed to stay on the floor, so you got to rest on offense. And Parker, to his credit, showing how smart he was, he got across half court, picked the basketball up, and just stood there at half court, bent over, just kept catching his breath as much as possibly. He was struggling. He was dead, but he was not going to give up on defense. He wasn't going to let that kid score. So he went to the offensive end, grabbed the basketball at half court, and just held it until somebody came and guarded him and caught his breath. And then, you know, from that point on, the rest of the players kind of stepped up, and I think that's about time Davis really decided, I'll take over for you on offense, Parker.
42-37 lead at one point, and here's where Davis kind of really stepped up and had a big shot for you that really propelled you to the win.
On the right wing, Hinkie has it now to Davis Dubert. Dubert guarded by Colton Bussing. Between the legs with the dribble, Davis drives into the lane. Layoff good. Davis takes it all the way for St. John Tipton. He has 8 in the quarter. The lead back up to 7, 44-37.
He actually finished with 15 in that quarter. How big was it just to have somebody like that when you just felt like maybe you weren't going to be able to get away from this team, and you finally did?
Well, a lot of it was we couldn't get away from them. You know, they were a great defensive team, so we were fighting on defensive end. We knew we were a good defensive team. That's what we had it took pride in. And it was a matter, you could tell, Davis just decided, it's my time, it's the end of the game, I'm gonna take over offensively. You guys have been working hard on defense, and he knew what his role was. And basically, our offense at that point was, catch as much breath as you can, Parker, but get Davis the ball and find a way to let him score. And, you know, that was a great example. He just drove it hard to the basket, gets the layup, and kind of got himself just in one of his zones and just carried us the rest of the way. Of course, you're going to have to start fouling at that point. If you can get the ball in Davis's hand at the end of the game, he's going to knock down, you know, all of his free throws at that point. So he really took over, refocused. That's just kind of the way he was that entire year. Even, you know, we were able to hide him as much as far as on defense. He was a great defender, but, you know, we needed him on offense. So the other four guys knew that their job was to defend, try to let Davis catch as much of his breath on the defensive end and not have to work quite as hard as everybody else did. Not saying he didn't work hard, but they knew he needed to be there on the offensive end. And in the fourth quarter, when every other kid was getting tired, Davis was just getting his legs. And you know, you can't be tired and try to guard a Davis Dubert in the fourth quarter. And he took advantage of it and just did what he was capable of doing. And it made it a lot more comfortable to finish it out. If I'm not mistaken, that was the game the dab was really popular that year, and Parker said, if I hold Busing scoreless, you have to dab after the game. So one of the few times you'll see me do anything silly, but they did catch me doing it for him real quick after that game. It's one of those things that Parker will never let me live down.
So you moved to 23-0 there, went on to the state tournament there after that one. It's been fun to kind of reminisce and go back on this one. One of your toughest probably wins in a sub-state championship that you've had. So, Coach, thanks for the time. Hope you enjoy this replay coming up.
All right, thank you, Dustin.
And here on Substate Championship Rewind Week, we'll take you back now to March 5th of 2016 at Blue Valley Randolph High School in Randolph, Kansas, the 1A Division II Substate Championship game between St. John's Tipton and Axtell Boys, and we'll pick it up at the start of the second half.
Axtell will have the ball to start the second half here on Z96 Points of the Lake and KatieCountry94.com. We want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. Axtell basketball here, Blue Valley Randolph 1A Division II Substate. We are set for the second half as the Blue Jays lead 27-21. Axtell, right side of the elbow. This is Caleb Bussing with it. He drives in on Mason Eiler. Mason got a hand on it, but Bussing scores anyway. He's just been scoring over defenders all night. 27-23, St. John's Tipton lead down to 4 as we're just into the second half. Where they start the same way they started the game with Meyer, Dubert, Hinkie, Eiler, and Gates. Hinkie had 2 early fouls, didn't play the remainder of that first half. Gates, nice look, baseline to Mason Eiler. What a find from Parker Gates as Mason scores and has 9. 29-23 Blue Jays. Out of that back door, St. John's Tipton leads by 6 again. Kuckman has it. Actually, Kenigsman starting the second half for St. John's Tipton instead of Meyer. A little bit bigger look. Caleb Bussing misses a 3 and a foul on the inside. Called on Axtell on the rebound. I think they got Mitchell Kuckman with his 3rd. We'll wait and see what the official call is. It is indeed on Mitchell Kuckman. That's a big one on Axtell. First team foul called in the Eagles here in the second half. St. John's Tipton basketball as Burt Dieters checks back into the game for the Eagles. Inbound play for Davis Dubert. 7-12 to play, 3rd quarter. St. John's Tipton up 6. Inbound play to Aaron Hinkie. Hinkie, couple dribbles. He'll bring it across half court. Picked up by Colton Bussing in the half court man-to-man. Hinkie, left side to Dubert. Dubert, the screen from Kenigsman. Right elbow jumper for Davis. Bounces no good. Rebound Dieters for Axtell. Eagle basketball, Dieters left side to Adam Kuckelman, driving, runner on the way, no good, rebound Parker Gates to St. John's Tipton. Davis might have got a fingertip on that one. Gates across half court, drives, looks inside for Dubert. He can't throw it through the defender. Parker knocked it out from behind, but it's kept by Axel. Up the floor, Cook on Dubert. Layup good. Bryce Cook has seven. As the Blue Jays have it back, it's 29-25 with 6.5 to play in the third. St. John's Tipton basketball. Parker Gates has it. He's guarded out there by Axel and Adam Kuckelman. Right side. Here's Mason Island, a long two, and we have a foul called on Axel trying to run through a screen set by Gates is Caleb Bussing, and that's his third. Second team foul called on the Eagles. So Caleb Bussing checks out. He's really been the biggest offensive threat for Axel in this game with 12 points. Mitchell Kunkelman has six. That's 18 of the 25 that Axel scored and is now sitting on the bench. Inbound play for Davis Dubert. St. John's Tipton needs to take advantage of these two being on the bench right now for the Eagles. Inbound play, Dubert left corner to Mason Islet. Mason takes one dribble. Skip pass over to Hanke. Hanke fakes into the corner and gets it over to Gates out top. 6:08 to play in the third. St. John's Tipton leads by 4, 29-25. Gates left side for Dubert. Davis drives. Splits defenders. The runner on the way, no good. Davis got the rebound. Back up and good for St. John's Tipton. Davis has 14 for the Blue Jays as they now lead 31-25. Axel basketball, wasting no time again. Dieters has it, top of the key to Hyman. Left side, Adam Kuckelman. Into the corner it goes to Cook. Cook guarded by Hanke. Dribbles, drives, runner on the way for Cook. Bounces in for Axel. Size is a concern here for St. John's Tipton on some of these guards for the Blue Jays on defense as Cook scores and it's 31-27. Hanke's given up like 3 or 4 inches to Cook out top. Screen set. Davis a deep three. Nothing but net. Right wing. Davis Dubert with a fist bump after he makes it. He's got 17 and the Blue Jays are up by 7, 34-27. Bert Dieters has it for Axel. Out top to Adam Kuckelman. Right side to Bussing. Bussing in for Cook and a blocking foul called on Aaron Hanke before the shot. The third foul on Hanke and the first on St. John's Tipton in the second half. Aaron's just the problem for Aaron in this game is he's given up so much size to this Cook kid out top that he just really can't. And Cook's got a great handle, too, and there's just not a whole lot that he can do. And Aaron's saying that he's getting elbowed as he goes to the bench, but it's tough for Aaron to guard the size of Cook. Inbound play goes out to Cook. Dylan Hollerick on the defense now. Burke Dieter's right side. Into the corner it goes. Kuckelman puts up a three over Mason Eiler. Bounces high and off the rim, no good. Rebound tapped around. Kenningsman comes out of there with it. Blue Jay basketball as Parker Gates runs the floor for St. John's Tipton. Gates out top, guarded by Dieters. Screen out there from Mason Eilert. Nice pick and roll. Parker picks up his dribble, skip pass right side, Hollerick. Hollerick blows by the defender, but he lost his pivot foot on the drive. A travel called on Dillon. The eighth turnover for St. John's Tipton. So the Eagles get the possession back, trailing by 7 with 4:41 to play, third quarter, 34-27, St. John's Tipton. Osmond was leading Pike Valley in boys action at halftime in Mankato, 24-19. Bulldogs looking to make it to the state tournament in 1A Division 1 boys. Thunder Ridge girls have made it. They're the only team where for sure has made it. A three left side for Burke Dieters. Bounces high and no good. Davis Dubert the rebound for St. John Simpson on the backside. As the Blue Jays have the possession, Dubert crosses over, drives, step back, free throw line jumper, rolls no good. Kenningsman the rebound, put back. Oh, no, they're going to say a foul on the floor. So Eddie gets fouled by the Eagles. It's the 13th foul called on Axel. Davis trying to create his own shot there. Couldn't get it to go down as Hyman gets called for his second personal. Inbound play, Parker Gates underneath on the baseline to throw it in. Gates in for Dubert on the right wing. Davis drives. And we have a foul called on Axel again. Cook was shaking his head yes, so he's like, yeah, he agrees that he committed the foul. That's the third on Cook now. So foul trouble becoming an issue now for Axel. Caleb Bussing, Mitchell Kuckelman, and Bryce Cook all with three. On the right side, Dylan Hollerick steps back. Back over to Dubert. Dubert in for Kenningsman. Open layup. No good. Eddie got his own rebound. Back up. Block. And a rebound to Colton Bussing for Axel and a foul on Kenningsman. That's just the wrong place at the wrong time there for Eddie, unfortunately, as Eddie just got called for his third. Second team foul on the Blue Jays. Ryan Gingler will come back into the game for St. John's Tipton. So Kenningsman a tough one that time, just again in the wrong place at the wrong time and was on the back of Colton Bussing. Blue Jays lead by 7 still, 34-27 with 4:02 to play. On the left side, Hyman has it into the corner for Adam Kuckelman. Kuckelman in for Dieters. And a foul called on St. John's Tipton again. 13 foul on the Blue Jays. I think they're going to get Ryan Gingler with this one. That's number three on Ryan. So Aaron Hankey, Ryan Gingler, and Eddie Kenningsman all have three for St. John's Tipton. Inbound play, Kuckelman into the corner for Cook. Cook is cut off by Parker Gates, got him to jump. Baseline runner, good. Bryce Cook has six in the quarter, 11 in the game, and it's down to a five-point lead, 34-29. Blue Jay basketball, Gates had it pickpocketed by Dieters. Dieters all the way to the hoop, layup good. Gates has struggled in this game. He's got at least four turnovers. Gingler has it now across half court for the Blue Jay. Hands it off to Davis Duber. 3:30 to play, a three-point lead, 34-31. Davis dribbling on the left side. On Cook, into the corner for Hollerith. Dillon drives, kicks it out to Mason Islet. Mason picks up a dribble right side to Gates. Gates is a screen from Mason Islet. Drives in, steps into the corner for Gingler. Long two for Ryan. Bounces no good. Rebound knocked out by Gates. He saves it in, but over on the corner, knocked in and saved by Mason Islet. Hollerith, three from the right side. No good. Front rim and a rebound to Axel. That was a good look for Hollerich. Axel has the ball. They've got a chance to tie or cut it to a one-point game. Cook misses the shot and a rebound to Parker Gates. Foul called on Axel. I think they might have got the fourth on Cook. And they did. That's the fourth personal on Bryce Cook after the miss. 15th foul on the Eagles. 34-31 the score. Ryan Gingler checks out. Isaac Meyer back in for St. John's Tipton. Blue Jays only leading by three with 2:51 to play in the third. Parker Gates has it for St. John's Tipton. Brings it up the floor on Dieters and brings it across half court. Parker dribbling in the circle right there. Right side of the wing now extended to Meyer. Lobs inside to Duber. Davis backing in. Finds Mason Islet. Mason double dribbled. It's the right call. Took one dribble. Put the second hand on it. Dribbled again. Turnover for St. John's Tipton is their 10th and a timeout called by Lance Bergman to try to slow things down a bit. 34-31, St. John's Tipton leads by three, 2:37 to play in the third quarter. We're back on D96.3 The Lane. Axel Eagles are giving St. John's Tipton everything they want in our 1A Division II sub-state championship game. 34-31 Blue Jays. Colton Bussing has it over to Caleb Bussing on the right side. Caleb at the free throw line to Colton Bussing, left wing, guarded by Parker Gates. Head fake, top of the key to Hyman, left side to Caleb Bussing. Caleb fakes on a three, tries to drive on Mason Eilert, layup good. Caleb Bussing has 14. The lead down to one, 34-33, St. John's Tipton. Blue Jay basketball. Davis Dubert might have got away with a foul on the offensive foul. Isaac Meyer has it in the left corner. Couple dribbles out the gate. 2 minutes to play, third quarter, one-point Blue Jay lead. Parker drives. Baseline, Mason Eilert up with the shot. No good. Rebound, Axel. It's pulled down by Colton Bussing. Eagle basketball with a chance to take the lead. Turning and shooting and missing in the lane is Caleb Bussing and a rebound to Davis Dubert. Blue Jay basketball, the one-point lead, 1:40 to play, third quarter. Dubert has it. Skip pass right side to Hollerich. Hollerich a three from the right wing. Front rim, no good. Missed almost everything and a foul on Isaac Meyer on the rebound. The first on Meyer and the fourth team foul on St. John's Tipton. Aaron Hankey sent a check back in for the Blue Jays despite having three fouls. They need somebody out there that can maybe provide something offensively here for St. John's Tipton. Davis Dubert with 17. Mason Eilert has 9, so they've combined for 26 out of the 34 points the Blue Jays have. Axel basketball. 1-point lead for St. John's Tipton. Burke Dieters across half court, and he carried it. Nice pressure defense out top from Isaac Meyer. 6 turnovers now for Axel. 4 of those have been on offensive foul. They've really only turned it over a couple times. Inbound play for St. John's Tipton as Aaron Hankey will throw it in. Hyman checking back into the game for Mitchell Kuckelman for the Eagles. 1:27 to play, third quarter, 34-33. St. John's Tipton leads by one. Blue Jays again looking to make it to the state tournament for the third consecutive season. Parker Gates crossover dribble on Burke Dieters, blows right by him, takes it into the lane and lost it. Colton Bussing has it for Axel. Quick look up ahead and overshot the intended target. It's out of bounds, back to St. John's Tipton. So a turnover for each team as Bussing got a little bit ahead of himself there. Blue Jay basketball, Mason Eilert to Isaac Meyer. Axel looking to pull the upset here. They still trail by one. Meyer over to Gates. Gates to Dubert. Steps back to the top of the key. Davis between the legs of the dribble. Three on the way. Misses. Long rebound goes into the corner for Mason Eilert. Over to Gates. Parker a three left wing. Yes! Parker had a foot on the line. It's just a two for Parker, but his first basket of the game. St. John's Tipton leads by three, 36-33. Eagle basketball. Bussing fakes a three out top. Now dribbles to the left elbow. Turns, kicks it back over to Dieters. 40 seconds to play, third quarter. Hyman on the left wing. Back out top to Colton Bussing. Bussing's been held scoreless with Gates playing the defense on him. Colton averaging 13 points a game. He had 26 in the semifinals against Blue Valley, and he's been held scoreless tonight. Bussing out top with 25 seconds to play here in the third. Axel crowd on their feet. St. John Simpson fans respond and get on their feet as well. 16 seconds to play in the third as Axel will hold for the final shot, trailing by three, 36-33. Bussing, left side of the wing. Dieters hands it off now to Adam Kuckelman. He's guarded out there by Hinkie. Step back three for Kuckelman is off, and a rebound to Davis Huber. 2 seconds to play. Davis heaves it from three-quarter court. Oh, he almost made it. Oh, man. Davis just missing from more than three-quarters of a court away. He is the quarterback and can heave it, but he missed it, and we're at the end of the third quarter. 36-33 Blue Jays, one quarter to play here in our 1A Division II Sub-State Championship on Z96.3. We're back on Z96.3, the fourth quarter underway. St. John's Tipton leads by three, 36-33. Gates picks up the dribble in a tough spot, gets it into Mason Eilert. Hankey has it now, over to Gates on the right side, and Parker resetting. Blue Jays lead by three, 7:43 to play. Inside, Mason Eilert. Go to Mike Kuckelman, back to Hankey, open three, right wing, front rim no good. Rebound tipped, foul called to the inside on Axel. Isaac Meyer had great position on the rebound. 16 foul call on the Eagles in the second half. Who'd they get with this one? They got it on Caleb Bussing, and that's his fourth. He leads away with 14 for Axel and just picked up his fourth foul. Bryce Cook has 11, and he has four on the bench. Hyman checking back into the game for Caleb Bussing. Blue Jay basketball. Inbound play coming for Parker Gates. Gates in for Dubert on the baseline. Davis turning on Colton Bussing. Runner good for Davis. 19 points now for Dubert. The lead's five. 38-33, St. John's Tipton. They have, or the Blue Jays get a steal. Davis Dubert takes it away. That is the eighth turnover for Axel in this contest. Davis to Parker Gates, who resets the offense for the Blue Jays. Davis has it on the right elbow. He turns. Guarded by Colton Bussing. Left side to Hinkie. Hinkie. Back out top for Davis Dubert. Now over to Parker Gates. Gates dribbling out top. Inside Mason Eilert. Back to Hinkie. Hinkie drives baseline. No look pass to Eilert. Over to Dubert. Davis on the left wing. Back into the corner for Hinkie again. Hinkie. Skip pass out top for Parker Gates. 5-point lead for the Blue Jays. 6:48 to play in the game. St. John's Tipton has led this one all the way. Been tight here in the second half. Parker Gates right wing. Looking inside, what do we have? A foul called on Axel. The 17th foul. That'll send Davis Dubert to the free throw line for a 1-1 for the Blue Jays. Axel foul is called on Colton Bussing, his third. Dubert at the line shooting 79%, his first free throw attempts of the game. He has 19 for St. John's Tipton. He's been in double figures every game so far this season for the Blue Jays. Free throw for Davis on the way. Spins out. But I think there was a lane violation. Ooh, Davis is going to get another opportunity. Mitchell Kuckelman was into the lane early. Davis Dubert to the free throw line again for another chance here for St. John's Tipton. 19 points for the Blue Jay junior. He'll try it again here after the lane violation on Kuckelman. 38-33, St. John's Tipton. Make it 39-33. I wasn't going to predict Davis would miss two in a row after he got another chance. 39-33, Blue Jays up six. And Dubert trying to stretch this to a 7-point lead. Axel got within one at 34-33. Second free throw for Davis is nothing but net. 21 now for Davis Dubert, and it's 40-33 Blue Jays. Axel basketball as Colton Bussing brings it across half court. Over to the right wing. Caleb Hyman has it. Back out top to Adam Kuckelman. Right side, Dieters. Top of the key to Bussing. Bussing on the drive on Gates. Gets it back over to Hyman. Into the corner for Colton Bussing again. Drives baseline. Cut off by Gates. Gets it over to Dieters. Dieters. Left-handed baseline jumper, no good. Rebound and a foul called on Hyman as Davis Dubert will go back to the free throw line for St. John's Tipton. The third personal on Hyman as Dubert had great position. The 18th foul called on Axel. So Dubert looking to extend on this 7-point lead, but first Jason Tynan calls a timeout for the Eagles. 40-33, St. John's Tipton, 6:14 to play. It's on D96 points through the lead. 6:14 to play in the game. It's 40-33. Davis Dubert another one-on-one opportunity. That one rolls no good, and a rebound to Axel, pulled down by Caleb Bussing. So Dubert now 2-for-3 from the line. Driving is Cook. Somehow scores over Davis Dubert on the baseline. 13 for Bryce Cook. Davis has not had a real good game defensively. He does have 21 points for the Blue Jays on offense, though. Parker Gates out top, guarded by Cook, dribbles over to the wing. Inside look for Dubert. Fadeaway jumper, baseline, no good. Rebound pulled down by Axel. And the ball's off of that. Oh, they say Kenningsman the last to touch it. As Adam Kuffelman got the rebound and nearly lost it. So it's Axel basketball trailing by five with 5:45 to play. 40-35, St. John's tips with the lead. The inbound play for Bryce Cook. Cook brings it across half court. Over to the right wing to Hyman. Hyman over to Caleb Bussing, or Colton, yeah, Caleb Bussing out top. He fakes, kicks over to the right side to Hyman. Now back onto the wing. Oh, man, Cook thought that Bussing was coming right back to him, and then Bussing at the last second decided to cut into the lane, and Cook threw it out of bounds. It goes back to St. John's Tipton. Nine turnovers now for Axel. St. John's Tipton turned it over 11 times in this game, which is above their season average of 10.5. Hyman checking out of the game. Dieter's back in for the Eagles. And Axel in the road blue uniforms. St. John's Tipton of the home whites. 5:28 to play in the game, and it's 40-35. St. John's Tipton. Winner moves on to the 1A Division II state tournament at United Wireless Arena in Dodge City. The Axel girls punched their ticket earlier tonight. Left elbow, Parker Gates into the corner for Aaron Hankey. Hankey skip pass right side. 3-second violation on St. John's Tipton. I believe Eddie Kenningsman. Turnover gives it back to Axel. Isaac Meyer checking back into the game for the Blue Jays as he's in for Kenningsman. 40-35, St. John's tipped it up five with 5:14 to play. Inbound play goes to Bryce Cook. Cook being guarded out there by Davis Dubert to the right side to Caleb Bussing. Bussing, couple dribbles, lost it, and Mason Eiler takes it out. Then Mason tried to get it to Davis Dubert, was tipped out of bounds by Cook. 10 turnovers now for Axel. It's kind of an uncharacteristic one there for the Eagles, definitely unforced anyway. Inbound play to Isaac Meyer. Meyer gets it back to Hankey, and Aaron will bring it up the floor for the Blue Jays. He's picked up by Cook with 4:57 to play. Hankey on the right side to Meyer. Meyer out at the top, takes a couple dribbles, finds Hankey on the left side. Aaron, one dribble back to Meyer. Meyer to Davis Dubert at the right wing. Davis blows by Bussing. Baseline jumper for Dubert, nothing but net for St. John's Tipton. He has 6.25, 23 in the game. Lead back to 7 for St. John's Tipton, 42-35. Shot good for Axel. And a timeout called by the Eagles with 4:34 remaining. It's 42-37, right back to a five-point lead. On Z96 points through the lane. St. John's Tipton basketball out of the timeout. 4.5 to play in the game. They lead by 5, 42-37. Isaac Meyer has it on the right wing for the Blue Jays. Over to Parker Gates. Adam Kuckelman made that last basket for Axel. It was his first of the game. Good pass there, actually just a swing pass left side in the corner. Meyer thought about the three, but pulls back. Hankey back out top to Gates. St. John's Tipton probably going to be content to take some time here. Parker needs to dribble and does. Gates left side of the wing to Hankey. Hankey gets a screen from Mason Eilert, right side to Gates. Parker with a head fake. He fakes inside at the right elbow, back over to Hankey. Hankey one dribble back to Gates. 3:57 to play in the game, a five-point Blue Jay lead. Gates back over to Hankey on the right wing. Hankey in for Mason Eilert, guarded by Mitchell Kuckelman to Dubert. Open two on the way, rattles halfway down and out. Rebound goes to Caleb Bussing for Axel. Eagle basketball trailing by five with 3:40 to play. Left side, Mitchell Kuckelman, baseline, blocked by Mason Eilert. That's probably the block of the game from Mason as Kuckelman went baseline and had it swatted. So Mason here with a big block there on Mitchell Kuckelman as the Blue Jays have it back. Eilert out top to Davis Dubert, guarded by Bussing. At the left elbow, spins, kicks right side to Hankey, top of the key to Gates. Left side to Meyer. St. John's Tipton wants to get this clock going as much as they can. They can't run fast enough for the Blue Jays. Timeout called by Davis Dubert and St. John's Tipton. Lance Bergman wants to talk to his team here. 3:09 to play. It's 42-37 Blue Jays on Z96.3 through the lake. Welcome back here on Z96.3 and KatieCountry94.com. St. John's Tipton with the ball back out of the timeout. 3:06 to play. 42-37 the score. Gates out top. Started by Adam Kuckelman. Gates drives baseline. Parker to Mason Eilert. Left wing to Aaron Hankey. Out of Meyer. Meyer, skip pass, back out top for Parker Gates. Under 3 minutes to play. We're at 2:50 in the fourth. 42-37 the score. Gates and Tynan telling his defenders to crank it up a notch here. Isaac Meyer started out top by Caleb Bussing. Between the legs of the dribble, Meyer back over to Hankey. Right side, Gates has it now with 2:37 to play. Fakes inside. Dribble drives, picked up his dribble, might have got away with a travel. On the right wing, Hankey has it now to Davis Dubert. Dubert guarded by Colton Bussing. Between the legs with the dribble, Davis drives into the lane. Layup good. Davis takes it all the way for St. John's Tipton. He has 8.25, the lead back up to 7, 44-37. Caleb Bussing head fakes on a three, drives the lane, runner no good. Rebound Mason Eilert for St. John's Tipton. Blue Jays have it with a 7-point lead. 2:08 to play in the game. In St. John's, Tipton looking for their third consecutive trip to the state tournament. Gates nearly lost it. Parker dribble drive, and travels. Lance Bergman did not agree with the call. That is the 13th turnover for St. John's Tipton as the Eagles have the possession back. Bryce Cook back into the game for Axel. For Bert Dieters. I don't think Colton Bussing has sat down yet in this game, but he has not scored for Axel after having a career high in his last game of 26 against Blue Valley in the semifinals. He's scoreless tonight. Parker Gates has done that to a lot of people this year for the Blue Jays. The right side of the wing. Driving baseline is Adam Kunkelman. Out to Bussing, three right wing. Bounces, no good. Rebound, Davis Dubert. That was his best look of the night, and he couldn't get it to go. Davis across half court. On the left side, drives, kicks it back out to Gates with a minute 40 to play and a seven-point lead. I think Axel trying to foul now, and they do. Foul out top on Adam Kunkelman is first, and Parker Gates will go to the free throw line for a 1-1. It's a 19 foul called on the Eagles. Gates is just 57% this year from the free throw line. 2 years ago, he hit one big one in the state championship game, so he's a pretty good clutch free throw shooter, and he shows it there. Knocks down the first one. It's 45-37. If you remember, a couple years ago out at state, he was a sophomore and had an and one and made a free throw to give him a four-point lead at one point there late in the game. Second free throw for Parker, good. So he's got ice in his veins when it counts. 46-37, Blue Jays lead by nine. 1:35 to play. Right side of the wing, Adam Kunkelman into the corner for Bussing. He drives baseline and a foul called on Gates from behind. Parker called for his first personal, 15th foul called on the Blue Jays. 1:31 to play. It's 46-37, St. John's Tipton. Looking to improve to 23-0 and head into the state tournament. Inbound play for Adam Kunkelman. Kunkelman inbound and stolen by Parker Gates. Gates brings it across half court, and he's fouled from behind by Bussing. Parker tries to throw one up as he gets fouled. He says, do I get three shots? I threw the ball at the basket. The official just shakes his head no. Parker will go to the line for two, though, as that was the 10th team foul called in the Blue Jays, and the fourth personal on Colton Bussing. Gates at the free throw line. He has 4 points for St. John's Tipton, and that one misses. So Parker has another one coming up. Looking to stretch this lead to 10. 46-37, St. John's Tipton. They are 4 of 6 from the free throw line here in this fourth quarter. Second free throw coming up for Parker Gates. And that one bounces front rim and rolls in for St. John's Tipton. 5 points now for Parker, and it's a 10-point lead, 47-37. 5-0 run right now for St. John's Tipton. They're towards the end of this game. Dribble drive, Adam Kunkelman, the runner banks in for Axel. Kunkelman has four and a timeout called by the Eagle. 47-39, St. John's Tipton's lead is 8. With a minute 15 to play in the contest, a timeout called by Jason Tynan and Axel. 1:15 to play in the game, 47-39 the score in favor of St. John's Tipton over Axel. Parker Gates with the inbound play coming for the Blue Jays. Axel putting on a full court defense here. Gates looking in, has Davis Dubert. Davis fouled by Bert Dieters. First on Dieters to get an end to double bonus, so Davis Dubert to the free throw line for St. John's Tipton. 25 points for the St. John's Tipton junior, Davis Dubert. And he has free throws coming up. Davis knocks down the first one. 26 now for Dubert. 48-39, St. John's Tipton. A few points above his average here. Ryan Gingler checks out. Dylan Hollerick back in for the Blue Jays. Second free throw coming up for Davis Dubert. Davis knocks down the second one. 10 in the quarter, 27 in the game for Davis Dubert. 49-39, Blue Jays with a minute 11 to play. Colton Bussing. Try to get it to him in the corner. It's knocked out of bounds by Gates as the Eagles will keep the possession of Bussing to throw it in. Parker has had an outstanding game defensively on Bussing, holding him scoreless. Outside at the top of the key, Caleb Bussing has it over to Cook. Cook on the drive, lost it, but they called a blocking foul on Aaron Hanke. It's a 16 foul on the Blue Jays, so no free throws coming up. I think they got Hanke with it. If they did, it's his fourth, and it is on Hanke. Number four on Aaron. Inbound play coming for Axel. And Adam Kunkelman, 1:02 to play and a 10-point Blue Jay lead, 49-39. Right at 1 minute, left corner, Bussing, three on the way, no good. Rebound knocked out of bounds, last touch by the Eagles, and St. John's Tipton will get the possession. And it looks like some subs are coming into the game here for Axel, as Cook, Caleb Bussing, and Mitchell Kunkelman all check out. Kristen Scheibe's in for the first time, a 5'10 senior. And also Dieters back in, and Hyman, foul called on Axel. I think they got Shabby with it, his first. And Davis Dubert headed back to the free throw line for the Blue Jays. St. John's Tipton looks like they're going to improve to 23-0 here as they lead by 10, 49-39. Kind of subbing in the guys that have the four fouls and or the foul trouble, I guess. Free throws for Davis Dubert. First one on the way, and that one bounces no good. He's got another one coming up. 27 points for Davis Dubert. He's got 10 of those here in this fourth quarter. He's now 4 of 6 from the free throw line. Second free throw coming up for Dubert. Second one on the way. Nothing but net. 50-39, St. John's Tipton, 28 now for Dubert. Blue Jays with the lead. Adam Kuckelman, the runner, bounces no good. Parker Gates, the rebound for St. John's Tipton. Back over to Davis Dubert. Dubert brings it up the floor and got fouled by Kuckelman. So Davis will go to the line. Chance to get to 30 here with a couple free throws coming up. Second foul on Kuckelman. Blue Jay fans can feel it as they're standing up, clapping for their team. They know that for the third consecutive year, it looks like they're headed to the state tournament. And out to United Wireless Arena in Dodge City. First free throw for Davis on the way, and it rolls in. 29 now for Dubert. 51-39, St. John's Tipton. Dubert looking to hit 30 again here. Second one on the way, and it's good. 30 points for Davis Dubert. 13 in the fourth quarter. It's 52-39, St. John's Tipton up 13. Bussing looks inside. Mitchell Kuckelman score in. No, it doesn't go in. Rebound, taps around, and Gates has it. Up ahead to Dubert. Davis with 30 seconds. Layup good for St. John's Tipton. Blue Jays lead 54-39. Kuckelman has it in the corner. And a block by Mason Eilert, but a foul called on Eilert as, again, Mitchell Kuckelman was driving. 32 points now for Davis Dubert. 54-39, 19 seconds to play. The Blue Jays will improve to 23-0, and they're going to head to the state tournament in Dodge City as Axel will finish their season at even 500 at 12-12. It's just a formality now as Mitchell Kuckelman's at the free throw line for Axel, the first one on the way, and it rolls in. Seven now for Kuckelman. He's 3 for 3 from the line. 54-40 the score. Axel gave St. John's Tipton everything they wanted tonight, but in the end, the Blue Jays pulling away here in this fourth quarter. They led by just 3 after 3. Second free throw good for Kuckelman. He has 8. St. John's Tipton leads 54-41. 15 seconds to play, and it looks like Jason Tynan has called off the dog. St. John's Tipton will win this one tonight. 6 seconds, the clock running down. Davis Dubert holds it. The Blue Jays are headed to the state tournament for the third consecutive year. As you can hear the St. John's Tipton fans, and they are in support. St. John's Tipton headed to the state tournament for the third straight year, winning 54-41 over the Axtell Eagles. Davis Dubert finishes with 32 tonight for St. John's Tipton, and the Blue Jays win it by 13. St. John's Tipton now 23-0, again winning at 54-41.
After winning the sub-state championship against Axtell, St. John's Tipton ended up finishing the season with a record of 25-1. They opened with a big 71-27 win over Sylvan Lucas to start the 1A Division II state tournament in Dodge City. However, they suffered a heartbreaking loss to Hartford in the semifinals, but came back and bounced back with a 56-41 win over Logan in that third-place game. Again, the Blue Jays finishing 25-1 in third place in 1A Division II state in 2016. We thank everybody for tuning in for our sub-state championship rewind game between St. John's Tipton and Axtell, the 2016 1A Division II sub-state championship. If you'd like a copy of the full game or any other games that we've had on our rewind archives, you can give us a call at the station at 545-3220. Coming up on Friday, tomorrow, we'll play back the 2010 2A girls basketball sub-state second half between Osborne and Rock Hills Girls, with Lady Bulldogs made it to the 2A state tournament. So stay tuned for that. Coming up on the Sports Ticket on Friday on Katy Country 94.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.